Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow children of God. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Mark. I'll read chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Then they brought little children to him, that is to Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Thinking back on my childhood, I realize when I was younger, I believed a number of different things that were pretty ridiculous just because someone told me they were true. Usually it was someone older than me, maybe someone I thought who was smarter than me, or possibly just a sibling trying to pull a fast one on me. Do you remember some things you remembered as a child that were pretty ridiculous, but you believed them just because someone said it's true? I remember one that I fell for that maybe you did too. I remember being told that if you crossed your eyes and someone slapped you hard on the back, that your eyes would stay crossed permanently. I don't know if I ever fully, wholeheartedly believed that one, but I do remember as a kid not wanting to try that. You know, don't let anyone slap you in the back if you cross your eyes. Well, unfortunately, the world around us views Christians and their faith, at least many people do, in a very similar way. You mean you believe that a man walked on water, did miracles, that this same man rose from the dead just because he told you so? Some guy who died 2,000 years ago told you these things and you believe them to be true? So to the world, our faith can seem very childish. It can seem like we're believing in many far-fetched stories and fables. However, God does not call us to have a childish faith. He calls us to have a childlike faith. There's a great difference. A childish faith believes what it is told without considering whether the source is trustworthy or true. A childlike faith believes what it is told and trusts wholeheartedly because he knows the source to be trustworthy. Because we have this childlike faith, we Christians are often perceived as being weak, being simple-minded. That's not true. And don't let anyone tell you that it's true just because they are more intelligent than you or may have more degrees than you do. Remember what God says. Remember these words from the New Testament about man's wisdom compared to the quote-unquote foolishness of God, the message of the cross that saves us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Look again at the verse, one of the verses from our text from this morning. What Jesus says about this childlike faith. He says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as or like a little child will by no means enter it." In both of those passages, God is telling us that our simple, childlike faith is what saves. Simple, childlike faith in Christ as your Savior from sin gives us salvation. He calls on us to have this type of a faith, this childlike faith. But he does not call on us to have a childlike faith that is childlike in its understanding. Jesus wants us to get to know him, wants us to understand more about Him, to get to know Him and His teachings and His promises better so that our childlike faith can be strengthened. He wants us to believe wholeheartedly, to believe trustingly and unquestioningly in everything He says, because He wants us to know Him deeply as our truest friend and our Savior. I've read somewhere that there are over 3,000 promises in the Bible, and Jesus has not broken one. So if there is anyone we should be able to trust, anyone we can trust, it's Him. We can trust what He did for us. We can trust that His perfect life, innocent life in our place, His perfect death on the cross, and His resurrection from the grave do actually save us, as He says. And we can also trust everything He says to us. We can trust His words to us in the Scriptures. When I first started in the ministry, my first Bible instruction class I was teaching, I came across a quote that I've used a number of times and remembered since then. It was a quote from a man who was not childlike in his understanding at all. A man who was very well educated, lived quite a number of years ago. His name is Bishop Moule. Actually, his full name, he has four names, so he's got to be very intelligent if he has four names, right? Can't just have a common three. His name was Bishop Handley Carr Glenn Moule. And the quote from this Bible instruction book was a comment he made about the comfort and confidence he had in the Bible, something that after he was brought to faith in Christ gave him comfort and confidence in the Scriptures. This is his quote. He says, "Jesus absolutely trusted the Bible, and though there are things in it inexplicable and intricate that have puzzled me so much, I am going, not in a blind sense, but reverently, to trust the book because of Him." In other words, what he was saying was, there may be things in the Bible that I will never fully grasp or never fully understand. There may be things that I doubt and question, but because Jesus unquestioningly trusted the Bible, that was good enough for Bishop Moule. He said, "I will trust the words of Scripture because of Jesus." I've often said that if the entire world says one thing and Jesus says the other, call me crazy, but I'm sticking with the Son of God. If you stick with Jesus' words, you are, in a sense, in the majority. But like Bishop Moule said, our childlike faith is not a blind trust. Jesus wants it to be as informed as possible, and He wants it to be based on His words to us. This is not only for the growth of our faith, for the strengthening of our faith, but also for our protection, so that we will be protected from those false beliefs that are not from Jesus, not from our Savior, false teachings and false beliefs that can harm, damage, and even destroy our souls. Therefore, we are not to be childlike in our understanding of Jesus or His teachings. The Apostle Paul summed it up this way in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, "We should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." So, not childlike in our understanding. So why then does Jesus put childlike faith, why does He hold it up as the standard and even the requirement to enter His heavenly kingdom? Well, let's take a look again at the words from our text. First of all, Jesus in our text is stating very plainly that these young children who were brought to Him, and if you look up this identical account in the Gospel of Luke, you'll see that Luke uses a term for infants, babies. It's very clear what Jesus is saying here, that these little children, even infants and babies, can and do believe in Him. Listen to His words again in verse 14. He says, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Other Bible translations put that phrase this way. They say, "Because the kingdom of God belongs to them," belongs to such as these little children and these infants. Now let's be clear what Jesus is saying here, what he's not saying here. He's not saying that these children are members of the kingdom of God simply because of the fact they are children. He clears that up in the very next verse. He says, unless you receive the kingdom of God as or like a little child, you will not enter it. He's holding up that type of faith, that trusting childlike faith. And this translation of this passage says, as a little child. Don't mistake that for meaning you have to receive the kingdom of God when you are a little child or you're out of luck. It's saying in the same way as a little child or like a little child. So with these words, Jesus is holding up childlike faith, the faith that young children exhibit trustingly, wholeheartedly believing what you tell them. He's holding that up as the standard and model of what faith in him is supposed to be like. With these words, then, Jesus is pointing out to you and me, no matter what our age, that childlike faith is also definitely not just for children. To me, one of the greatest examples, a physical example of childlike faith, is the picture of a little child standing on the edge of a swimming pool with his parents in there, holding out his hands and telling the young child, jump in, I'll catch you. Now you think about what's not going through that little child's tiny little mind. The little child's probably not thinking about the fact that that water is potentially very cold, potentially very deep, and the child's probably not also thinking about the fact that they cannot swim. They see their mom or their dad holding their hands out and they trust, my mom or my dad is going to catch me. They're not going to let me drown. And the child jumps in. When you boil it all down to the basics of our life, and especially our faith life, it is just that simple, isn't it? We are essentially continually on a cycle of standing on the edge of situations that require us to look to our Savior Jesus, and he tells us simply, trust me. We look to him for guidance, for instruction, for comfort. And his arms are always reaching out to us, telling us, very simply, trust me. Think about some of those basic promises and basic words of Scripture that you know very well. Jesus says these things to us in the Scriptures. He says, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. He promises, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, namely heaven, there you may be also. He tells us, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And finally, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. With these very simple words and promises, and many others like it, Jesus is holding out his hands to you and me and saying, jump in. Trust me. I'll catch you. Now we have to admit that this was much easier to do when we were children. This was much easier to do when we did not experience many of the dangers, the uncertain waters of this world. It was easier to simply believe when we hadn't experienced all the evils, the sorrows, and the difficulties of this world. It was easier to follow when we didn't realize that there were so many other teachings out there, so many other philosophies, so many other beliefs that seemed very attractive, very tempting to believe. It was much easier to obey when we didn't realize that everyone else wasn't obeying, when we didn't notice how much everyone else was getting away with either. And yet, despite all of our disappointments, our disillusionments, despite all our difficult experiences and the hardness of life, we are still in that same situation as the child standing on the edge of the swimming pool. Yes, Jesus wants us to grow in him, to get to know him, understand him better day by day. But he never holds out his arms to us and tells us, okay, now, understand everything about me. Understand everything about my ways for you in this world perfectly, And then, once you've got that grasp, then trust me and jump in. No, he simply invites us to believe, to follow, and obey. Maybe it's just me, but I believe there is something inside of all of us that longs at times to be young again. Whether it's the fact that we have some precious childhood memories that we just don't want to let go of, some very fond memories of being young, or maybe just a reluctance to grow up, we do long at times for the simplicity, for the joy, for the peace of being a child. Some people try to rectify this by listening to what they call your inner child. Listening to that voice is not going to give you true joy, not going to give you simplicity, and it's certainly not going to give you true or lasting peace. But listening to Jesus' words this morning, calling you to receive the kingdom of God like a little child, that will give you true joy. That will give you simplicity of heart, and it will give you true peace. The more we grow up, the more we learn from Jesus and his words, the less likely we are to be like children, swayed to and fro, back and forth, by the next fad in religion or the next philosophy that comes down the pipe. The more we grow up in our understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done for us, the more we will become like little children, ready and willing to wholeheartedly trust him and to jump in when he reaches out his arms to us through the scriptures and says, "Come to me. I'll catch you." Amen. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.